Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Heidi Fletcher, and she placed fifth in our open competition. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to venusindex.com and check out her pictures. So, Heidi, you and Adam, I guess, did this together, right? Was that sort of... Talk about that, because I know that's something that's happened a couple times this time around. We had a mother and son compete and place this time as well.
Oh, wow. No, Adam had actually heard about you guys a while back, and he shadowed one contest.
Mm.
And then I was kind of just talking about it with him, and I had never lifted weights before, and he was telling me all about it, and the diet and all that stuff. And so I kind of just watched him through that first one.
Right.
And I would help him work out, because he's got a gym in his house. And so I would come over and at night and just kind of help him do stuff. So we just got to talking about it more, and then come the competition, actually, like, it wasn't even until, like, 2 weeks before that I just came and said, no, do you want to do it? I'll do it with you kind of thing. I've never done this before or anything. And so we just literally last minute kind of decided to do it.
Well, so that's pretty good. Yeah. So were you guys training together the whole time? Maybe not exactly together, but sort of on the same schedule, keeping each other motivated?
Yeah. He was doing like boosters and all of that stuff, and I had never even lifted weights before.
Oh, so did he kind of coach you along?
He did, yeah. Like, what would happen is I would do what I could do, and then I would have him watch me do the exercises. Like when he got home from work, then I would just have a list of ones that I wanted him to show me, and so then he would just show me how to do them and check my form and stuff like that. And, like, the first couple weeks, even, I didn't even know how much to lift.
Mm.
Like, I'm lifting, you know, the 5 pounds and stuff like that. And he's like, no, you're doing 20s and all this stuff. And so I'm glad that he was there to just, he immediately just bumped me up on weight.
Mm-hmm. So you're not kidding. This was really the first time you've lifted weights, like, at all.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I had never even been into a gym kind of thing to lift weights. I've always ran.
Yeah, okay, so get into that. Well, okay, so then what did you do? Anything?
That was it. I just ran. I've never had a real problem with weight, per se, outside of baby weight. I've had 2 kids,
mm-hmm.
So outside of just baby weight. But I've always just kind of naturally watched what I've eaten. I've never put a whole lot of focus into it, nothing like what I did for this competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just naturally kind of eaten to my weight level, I guess. So yeah, I've never focused. I've never done anything to specifically lose weight.
Right. Well, because you've never had to.
Because I've never had to, exactly. So I work in the medical field, and I know that lifting weights is important for bone density and all that stuff, especially with women.
Mm-hmm.
So as Adam and I were talking about this, and I'm like, you know, it's not a bad idea for me to learn how to do this anyway, given the fact that I am getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But so it just kind of led itself into each other of the reasons that I kind of did it too. So
okay, and so so did you? I guess so. What did you think of the way you turned out? Like the look at the end? Did you experience some recomposition? Did you get stronger? Like, so this is the first time you've lifted weights at all, so you did it for 12 weeks. What was that like?
Yeah, no, I actually found out that I really do like it. Now, so I did notice the recomposition quite a bit, but I was so unsure of how to do the lifts and using them correctly, and because I know that people can get injured pretty significantly with the weight. And so it wasn't until Adam really started kind of pushing on me. And, you know, when you're working with someone that you're dating or your spouse or something, it creates such a different dynamic than having a trainer there and stuff. And so Adam would be kind of afraid to correct me or say, look, you know, you need to work on this or something. And then I had to get to the point where I was okay with him telling me what to do, too, and kind of critiquing me. So that was...
I can see how there's tension there.
Yeah.
Like,
so it took a lot of, like, me sucking up my pride going, okay, I really don't know what I'm doing, and I really want to do this. And so I would say the first 3 or 4 weeks, I was still kind of like, okay, I should just know this and stuff. But once I completely let go of that, of just, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's been in a gym since junior high, and he'll be able to do this. Then I really started noticing it then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. And so did you notice like a significant strength gain? Like, did you, how long until you were actually comfortable lifting weight? Are you even comfortable yet lifting weights?
Well, I, at the end of this competition, I still felt like I didn't really know what I was doing. And in fact, just over the weekend, Adam and I sat down and talked about doing some stuff. And he's like, I still don't really understand what you want me to do when you call me and say, help me lift.
Mm.
Because I kind of still feel a little bit of that, you know, just tension, and I don't know what it is you want. And so what I've done is I've gone back and done the exact same workouts of the circuit one,
mm-hmm.
because I already know what the forms are, and now I'm experimenting with the weights itself. Like, I still don't feel like I understand what true muscle fatigue is. And so that's what Adam and I are going to work on this next week, is getting me to feel true muscle fatigue versus just tired, because I know what it feels like to push yourself running,
mm-hmm.
and I know what that exhaustion kind of feels like, but I don't know how to equate that over to weightlifting, because it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So and you can't tell if you're stopping too soon, or if it's
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And I think that I really am, because like the first time that he put me on the Olympic bar for squats,
mm-hmm.
then we had just talked about the night before about how you need to go all the way down and stuff like that, because I was reading a research article on the form for squatting,
mm-hmm.
And so I was going down, and he's like, well, you need more weight on there. I'm like, there's no way I can do more weight. And so he put some more on there, and I went down, and I'm like, I can't get back up. And he's like, no, you push up. And I could, and we ended up actually putting on just a little bit more weight even than that one. But because I don't know, you know, I'm afraid of falling over or something like that, having those big weights on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But having him there go, no, you know, you can do this. You just push up and stuff. And so that was, I love that experience. So you
would say that you're still very much in your learning curve on everything here.
Completely. And that's why I love going back and just doing the circuit one on it, because I'm more familiar with the actual lift, and I'm still pretty comfortable with just the technique of those. And now I can play around with, okay, you know, now I can do a 100-pound squat or something, you know, and I can play with the weights more directly than I can with the technique and form of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. You're just, okay. And so are you aware that the different type of rep ranges actually produce different types of fatigue?
Yes, and that's what Adam's been trying to teach me too. But, you know, you can only grab so much at one time.
Mm.
And so, yeah, like on tricep extensions and stuff, he was trying to tell me to do them, you know, do them on a 2 count or do them faster and all that stuff. And when you don't know even the basic stuff, when you try and start playing around with that stuff, the different techniques, then for me, it just confused me even more. So I just wanted just the basic movement. And then we could play around with the amount of weight, with the durations, with the reps, with the, you know, 2 counts or whatever. So
yeah, I think I would guess that it would take probably a couple of years to cover it all. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to finally know like your own limits and what it feels like to be exhausted at the 20 rep range, at the 13 rep range, and to even know what it's like to exhaust at 8 reps. It's kind of all feels different, and then you got to learn,
exactly.
And then you got to learn the weights for you specifically that works at all those ranges, right?
Exactly. That's like Adam just charts everything out, and you know, and he can walk up to something, and he just how much weight he can do with these many reps, and especially because he's been doing a lot of pyramids and stuff that are on the Adonis side,
mm-hmm.
and he just knows that stuff about his own body, so, and yeah. I still just need to learn that. So.
Yeah, I guess I forget sometimes that some people haven't figured that part out.
That is so funny, because I just told Adam that this weekend. I said, I seriously feel like sometimes the guys just assume that girls know how to do this. And I have not been active on the community. I honestly wish that I was more active, because I know Adam's really active on the Adonis side.
Mm.
And we were talking about that, about, you know, the girls are probably asking each other, but I said, you're really kind of asking someone who doesn't know exactly, probably.
Well, the thing is we have a whole range, right? We've got some people that are really experienced who know exactly what I'm talking about, and then who have experimented with powerlifting and everything. And then we've got, you know, newbies like yourself who are just learning what it feels like to fatigue their muscle from training weights versus going for a long run, which you're right. It's totally different fatigue. So, so there's just a huge range of people. I guess both sides actually have that.
They do. Cause I mean, I know that Adam has talked about guys on the Adonis side that are just like, you know, I don't even know how this goes. And I'm like, that's totally my question. I don't know what it feels like.
Yeah. And we can only explain it so many ways until you never know until you do it. Like, it's the authority of experience. It's that whole thing. I can explain it 1,000 ways, but until you finally feel it, you won't really know what it's like to get to the end, to get to the end of a set and be like, oh, that was it. Like, that's as much as I had, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that happened with me with doing squats with the Olympic bar the first time, is that I'm just like, this is killing my neck and my body and stuff. And Adam just kept saying, you're just going to have to find a place where it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried it again the next day, and for whatever reason, it just kind of all clicked. And then I realized what he was saying, some of that stuff. But until you kind of can do it yourself, you're right, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I realized that happened to me is working out in front of the mirrors really helped out. Because I had never been into a gym to work out before, I'd never worked out in mirrors. And halfway through, we put mirrors all up in the gym. And so I could then watch myself and do the form. And I was able to correct a lot of stuff just based upon watching myself in the mirror. So
there's actually research on that, eh? I don't know if you've listened to the podcast, but
I have listened to them on and off, so.
There was a podcast where they talk about that. I was talking to one of my buddies, and there's research to suggest that you can, any muscle you can look at, you can do a better job with it, purely because you're getting that extra feedback of seeing it in the mirror. So it's kind of hard for people to, like, train their back because they can't look at it.
Yeah, I can totally see how that is true. So just from my own experience, and especially when someone's already given you the feedback, or they're giving you the feedback while you're doing it. And that's what I love with Adam too, is that we would be in front of the mirrors and he'd be like, you know, you need to squish your scapulas back together and all that stuff. So when I was on my own doing my rows, then I could tell when my back wasn't engaging and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's the mind-muscle connection. It's getting to know what the feeling of the right form is. You have to, at some point you've got to know, you have to intuitively just know what it feels like to be in the right position, and then off you go. But that takes time and some kind of coaching. And if you could see, it's interesting seeing yourself on camera. Like right now, while we're talking, I'm in Atlanta filming a workout with Alan, and we just did hours and hours of video, and I was looking at some of it, and it's always interesting to see yourself on camera, and you're like, oh, I'm pretty sloppy in that one exercise. And like, we just finished filming, and I watch it, and I'm like, damn, I gotta clean up my form on that. It just because, unless you're paying attention, like 100%, it's easy to get lazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that was true of pitchers. Adam was way more fired up about his pitchers just because he was just, you know, he felt that he had hit it and everything else. And so, and I'm still kind of in that, you know, I still want to change a few things, and I'm working on some things and stuff. So the end of this competition wasn't kind of a yay kind of party for me and stuff. It was just kind of like, okay, you know, let's go do this. But while we were doing pictures though and posing, I could, that mind body connection with trying to get into those good poses, I totally can understand and have a whole new appreciation for people who do that. It's just, it's a tough thing to make sure that you're posing right, to accent certain muscles and all that. So
yeah, it's not just stand there and snap a shot. It's no matter how good of a condition you're in, you still have to do something with it. You can't just stand there. It's got to be...
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort, actually, to get some of those pictures. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that's what we're trying to get everyone to understand, is when you see a really good pic in a magazine, that's one of hundreds of pictures, and that's, like, the best one they could get out of the group, right? So.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I've really understood about pictures, and more so, again, because of Adam, I've just learned so much just watching him more so, and then doing this alongside of him and being at different spots, is that you can look really tight that day of pictures and stuff, and then the next day, you don't look as tight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it literally changes. Like, we went out to Olive Garden, which is like death by pasta right there. But mm-hmm. after our pictures, and we just overate. There was no doubt about it. Just you do just go into Olive Garden in general. But
yeah.
But in the next day, you know, it's just amazing how much that water depletes. And he did the carb load and all stuff too. And but yeah, just watching him, and we were talking about afterwards about how much it just, you change. You know, that 1 pound of, you know, water retention or extra fat or whatever can really change your whole body composition and your pictures too, so.
Yeah, when you're lean enough. I mean, when you're lean enough, it all changes. It changes by the hour when you're lean enough.
Absolutely.
I think, actually, an interesting point to that, and I was talking to Alan about this, I think that's why... people who are doing fitness competitions and stuff start worrying about carbohydrates and meal timing because they notice it. They're like, whoa, I ate 4 times today and I actually noticed things change each time I ate, or they might have only eaten twice and the meals were bigger. And so they kind of smoothed out after the meal. So I can see how the whole eat small meals throughout the day becomes an idea, because they want to avoid that one big meal bloat, like you were just saying. Even though it may not be enough food to gain weight, in the hours after that meal, you can definitely look different. So I think the 5 or 6 meals a day thing's in an effort to avoid that and to look like photo shoot ready all day long every day.
Well, and that's what we were talking about actually just this weekend too, is the fact that, you know, and that's why some of these health magazines kind of pick up that idea, is the fact that you have someone who's in really good shape, low body fat, and that's what they do to maintain that throughout the day, is that they eat those smaller meals.
Mm-hmm.
So then someone says, well, what's the secret of your success? And they're like, well, I eat 6 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go. There's the miracle diet kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's just, they just want to do that to try to keep their look throughout the day.
Yeah.
I mean, people just fluctuate. Very few people hold so little water that they're just lean, photo shoot kind of ready looking all the time.
Yeah.
That's more of a water manipulation thing, which is kind of genetic. And everyone bloats up after a meal. It's just how much they bloat up, that's all.
Right.
So, I mean, well, so did you do anything specific for diet then, like now that we're kind of talking about meals?
You know, I followed the Eat-Stocky diet a little bit, and combination, I guess, of anything goes in Eat-Stocky.
Mm-hmm.
I was never afraid of fasting. You know, my religious upbringing, we had fasting
mm-hmm.
in it, and so that never freaked me out. So when we were talking about fasting as part of the whole diet thing, it just made sense to me. You know, you're allotted so much, and it's just like money. You know, you have $1,000 this week, you get to choose what to spend it on. If you choose to spend it all on going to the movies, then you don't get to eat that week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes kind of thing.
Yeah, there's not a whole much mystery to it if it's something you're already familiar with, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was never afraid of, you know, going all day long without a meal or anything else. So I just kind of picked a calorie limit that I wanted to hit that seemed to work, and I ate that, and then I would fast on a general basis through breakfast and lunch, and then have a light dinner. I think I only did a couple of 24-hour fasts.
Okay, I see, yes. Right, so you did more of a 16-8 thing or something like that.
Yeah, just because of the way that it just works out. I it was harder for me to do stuff on weekends when Adam and I would spend more time together, because ironically enough, even though we were on the same cage, it would kind of unnerve him when I wouldn't eat, and he would just be like, well, you need to eat something, or if I was kind of off or saying I don't feel very well, then he's like, well, you need to eat, because he was kind of tracking more what I was eating during the weekend than what I was during the week.
Mm.
And so I learned pretty quickly to just save kind of my calories for the weekend, and then he wouldn't have to worry about it so much. So there were a number of days where I had low calories during the week and then would just bank it all for the weekend kind mm-hmm. of thing. But there was also a couple of things that I learned about the low calorie stuff that, I hit a wall, like, my energy just goes, Adam says, you know, it's just like you power down. There's just like an on-off switch, and as soon as I hit low-calorie days, I just switch off. You know, I'm not able to lift, I'm not able to run, I'm not able to do anything at all until I get some more food. And so I learned how to manipulate that a little bit more so that I wasn't feeling it quite so drastically on some days.
Oh, right, so it would just catch up with you and you'd eat up a little bit more?
It would, yeah. And right now, I'm kind of trying something a little bit different. And I was reading that transformation diet that you guys put out just last week, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But about the calorie cycling and stuff like that. And I haven't tried that before. During the competition, I kind of kept it kind of level throughout the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm trying high calories, low calories, and stuff like that. Because that's what Adam did during his shadow competition.
Mm-hmm.
And he had good results with that. But, you know, it's like you've said on the podcast so much, though. You get down to that last 5 pounds or so that you want to lose, and it's just... If you've done it before, don't apply necessarily anymore.
Can you repeat that? Sorry, I just lost you there.
So
Heidi. Yo. Oh. I just lost you there for a sec. Can you repeat that? Talking, you start back in on the, when you get to the last 5 pounds.
When you get to the last 5 pounds, it's just totally a different game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rules that you've been following up until that point just change a little bit. And so it's just harder to lose it. You don't see the results as fast. And you do go back to what you've said a number of times, is you just have to kind of trust the numbers, you know. You know that you're cutting your calories. You know that you're lifting and doing the workouts and stuff like that. And so you kind of just have to wait for all of that to catch up.
Yeah, it's a mental game. Like 90% of the picture is painted, and now you're just touching it up to make it look like real good. But it's a disproportionate amount of patience that's required. But
yeah.
Like for what seems to be not a lot of change, even though it's all like that's going to look real cool and it's going to be a big deal. It just seemed
yeah.
the amount of patience it seems to require at the end seems to go up disproportionate to how much is actually changing. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but like you've experienced it obviously, so it's a little weird at the end.
Yeah, it really is, just because it's just different. You kind of hit those things, and I can see now why people say, you know, my metabolism's broken or whatever, because it does kind of change at a certain point. And I think that point is probably different for everybody, but I think everybody does at some point hit that to where it does kind of feel like you're broken. You know, you're doing the exact same thing you've done, but you're not seeing the results that you've been seeing.
So. Mm-hmm. Or they slow down or they're happening at such a sort of smaller increments, you would guess that nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And then, so like bigger changes you could have seen in a week, now it takes 2 weeks to see something. Something that you could at least look and notice. Yeah, no. And I think that's why it really matters to take pictures and look back at your pictures, because
yeah.
That's the only way you can... Did you guys do that, or did you just take the befores and the afters? Did you take any progress ones throughout?
I didn't take any progress ones, because honestly, I have zero idea of what body image. I've never been worried about it. I've never even noticed, like, other girls and stuff like that, and I mean, it's just odd. And I've realized that only actually during this competition is I just really don't I just don't even pay attention to that. And on the girls or the guys' side, now, and it's funny because we started looking at body shapes and pictures and started noticing it more and stuff. And just because Adam wanted to know kind of what I found attractive, and then I found myself going, well, you know, what is it that you find attractive? Because there's so many different body shapes. You can have more muscular ones, you can have softer curves, and you can, you know, the broad shoulders and all of that stuff. And so we have just spent the last 12 weeks, honestly, just looking at different pictures and looking at people in general and figuring out just body types and stuff. Because it's amazing once you start realizing how many different body types there are.
So
one, how not abnormal you are to a certain degree, but there's just thousands of different body types.
Yeah. Yeah, even with the same ratios, you're going to look different.
Exactly, exactly. And so you kind of just have to get to a point that you like what you see in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you just have to get to that point, so.
All right, well, speaking of that, where do you like what you see in the mirror?
There's still some things that I would like to change. Like, I feel like I tend to carry my weight in my buttocks and my thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still like to firm that up a little bit. And
Do you feel like you're heading in the right direction?
I do. Especially more so because, like, I love doing the Bulgarian split on the workout. And then I'm doing the heavier squats with that and the heavier weights with the lunges and stuff. And so I think that as I've gotten more comfortable with the weight and being heavier, then I'll start seeing those results a little bit faster. So, I don't know if it was you guys who did a podcast or something on squats versus not squats for glutes kind of being shaped and configured and stuff, but Adam and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, about how, you know, you just kind of have to do squats and that kind of movement to tone up your bottom, so.
Oh, yeah, I don't really know how else you tart. I mean, lots of squatting and lots of deep kind of lunging or if skating. I mean, I'm trying to think of some other thing that really, really targets that area. If you're not in a place where you can skate a lot and have proper skate training, which very few, I mean, in Canada, tons of people skate, and that's one way to develop that area. But if that's not something you do, then you're kind of left with lunges and squats. It's kind of the only other thing that'll do it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can do some circuits. In fact, when I was first...
Hey, okay. Hey, can you start over? Start over with that?
Yeah.
I lost you right after I said the lunging and squatting.
Yeah, you know, as I just get more comfortable with it, then I'll start playing around with more of the different weights and the reps and all of that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I mean, there's another layer of complexity with tempo, like we were saying. If you and Adam was trying to show you a little bit of that, I mean, it just keeps going and going.
It just does, and so. You know, I think that once you kind of plateau on one area, then it's nice to be able to move to another area, and just like anything else. You know, when I'm running, some days I like to run hills, and some days I want to just do flats, and some days I want to do sprints. And
okay, you sound like you're pretty advanced with your running. Do you? So, were you? Do you still run? Did you run through the contest?
We actually just finished a 7.5 mile race up here in Spokane on yesterday, actually.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I loved about the whole race that was completely unexpected is I didn't run the first part of the competition just because I was too focused on the weights, and I'd have to split the programs up because I just couldn't do it in an hour, and that was kind of all the time that I'd had, and so I split them in half because I was so worried about the form and technique and stuff like that, and so I wanted to make sure I was getting that right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until the last week of the competition where I had some stressors come into my life where I used running as a stress relief, and weightlifting just wasn't that. It was still just so much work. And so I started running more. And the first time that I actually went back to running, I just knocked out a 5 mile just in no time. And I called Adam. I'm like, this is amazing. I can run so much better. And I thought that I would have lost a lot from not running for those first 2 months. But I think that it just strengthens you overall. It's not the same as cardio kind of stuff with the running when you're lifting weights.
No, but you're let a strong stronger muscles take longer to fatigue. Yeah. So it's not the feeling at the lungs and heart. It's the feeling at the muscle itself. You know, you ever had that the difference between being out of breath or your legs tightening up? Like, you know the difference?
Yeah,
so your legs won't tighten up. Like, your legs will never be limiting now.
Exactly, that's what I found. Is just, and you know how when you're running, or, and I'm sure it's true of other things too, you just kind of get that second wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of with it. And everything just ceases to hurt, and you feel like you can just do this for hours and hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started out running my 5 miles like that, and I'm just like, this is awesome. So that kind of sold me on staying with weightlifting right there and kind of doing them both at the same time. And running no longer has any stress with it. You know, if I want to train for running, I think I can continue doing those sprints and all of that stuff. But really, I think I'll stay with kind of the weights for the training thing, because cardio-wise, it's not a problem for me. But the strength-wise, you know, I think that I just get more bang out of it with the weightlifting. So.
Yeah, and I've heard this so many times from runners who the first time they've done weights and like consistently, and they're like, wow, I ran so much faster and, you know, took a couple of, like, somebody else just told me this and they knocked 2 minutes off their 2 minutes off of a pretty short distance, like 5K, whatever it was. They went back after 2 months, same thing. They were way faster, and they were shocked that weight training could do that. And I'm like, what? I'm shocked that they thought something else would happen.
I know. It's kind of like, hello, what did you expect? So.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I don't get it. And cardio helps with weight training. Like, it also helps with blood delivery for weight. They both help each other. So I don't understand why people. I don't know. I guess people get all into one and don't do the other and don't realize it's really beneficial to mix them. I just don't get why people don't see why that wouldn't cross over. But yeah. It does. For everybody listening, it's weight training will make your run times better. Like, it will.
It seriously will. Like, during our run yesterday, you know, Adam had ran 7.2 miles, like, a couple of days before. I had done a couple of 5 miles in the weeks before this. But both of us just knocked out 7.5 miles in a little over an hour. I think we were at 63 minutes or 67 minutes or something like that. I mean, and we're just like, you know, that wasn't particularly hard. It was hard because there's 46,000 people running with us.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, you know, as far as the work effort for the run, it wasn't bad, so.
Yeah, no, that's just a normal, that's all normally, it's. That's what you should expect. So, I mean, that's exercise physiology 101. That's right in the textbooks. So, I guess no one really, I don't know why people don't think of it that way. I mean, they could even read it and just not, and then just dismiss it. I think it's because running and weight training, a lot of people fit it into their lives as an either or. They don't fit it in as like a together thing. They sort of like, well, it's either going to be a run or weights, but there's no way I'm fitting them in together. And I think it's almost a new way of thinking to think of having them both as a mainstay.
Well, and I don't know about the guys, but I know for me, and maybe for some other women too, is that when you think of weight, you think of, you know, the steroid use, bulking up kind of thing. And so you just don't want to get that thickness to you. You know, you don't want to be that, you know, just that.
Oh yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. It's the sort of the Hulk mentality that somehow you're just gonna explode and turn green and all that stuff. It's not gonna happen. But it's almost like we need some sort of model or some sort of example of of a body that's strong, lean, but also has like good run times or something, and be like, no, that person right there is can lift this much weight. Their body fat percentage is this, and they also run 3 times a week or 4, and this is their run times. And be like, oh, that's what it looks like. You know what I mean? And it's not, they're not just runners. They're not just weightlifters. They're neither. They're just, they're someone who's a hybrid, I guess you could say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's a mental thing. I think it's just, there's not a lot of examples of, have you seen those videos with Lauren Jacobson doing some posing tutorials on the girls' side?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. She knocks out 10K runs all the time when she's training. It's part of her cardio.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, she's really muscular and stuff. And when she's training for a show, she's like, yeah, you know, like I'll run for 10K as part of my cardio. And, you know, she just built it in. So it's totally doable. I think people just dismiss it as assuming it'll be hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and it's one thing when you're on the I can't do it quite yet side versus, oh, you know, that's a piece of cake, not a big deal. You know, I don't even think twice about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it just looks differently. And so, you know, you can have someone on the, I can knock it out, no big problem, telling you that it's not a big deal. But then if you're not ready for it, you know, it's just like anything in life. If you're not ready to hear it and you don't believe it, then you just aren't going to believe it. So.
Yeah. I agree with you. In this specific case, it seems as though the thought of it's almost as if people believe weights and being doing any sort of long duration endurance activity, you know, besides walking, but doing it for actually a timed interval to be, you know, go for a run and actually try to hit it in a time. I think people feel like it's incompatible, like they just somehow just don't fit together at all.
Yeah.
And so they have such a hard time bringing themselves around to it. Kind of like, you know, you just put it on the shelf for a couple of months while you were training, and then you reintroduced it and you're like, holy smokes, I'm actually running faster. So you proved it to yourself. But what I'm saying, is that what you went through and your sort of the surprise you saw is totally a story I've heard over and over again. I'm just trying to get to the root of why people have to think it's that way and then have to, I don't understand why the disbelief is there, but it is. And it's just, I don't know. It just seems to be really consistent. I guess it's something, you get into that mentality so quickly and so easily that you never once think that, oh, that maybe wasn't the only way things could go.
Exactly. So.
So, all right. Well, I mean, so you're going to continue on then. You're going to be a hybrid.
Yeah. I'll just keep doing it. Adam and I have signed up for a few more races. I don't know if you can call them races. They're the mud dashes and all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The tough mudders and those things.
Yeah, just those fun little, you know, short things that have really nothing to do with actually running. But,
yeah.
But, you know, they're just fun to do. And it's fun to just have that newfound strength to just do it. So
sure. All right. So I guess we've covered what your goals are moving forward. What's your advice to other women who I guess maybe were runners and scared of working out?
You know, I would say just jump in there and do it. It's amazing how much if you're lifting the weights correctly, you're just going to get stronger and it's just going to help you so much more. You know, and then you only have to worry about the cardiovascular part of it is if your lungs can literally keep up with you. But the strength-wise, you know, I think that the weights train you so much better than training on hills or sprints or something like that. So, And if I did it again, and this is kind of my goal for the next go-around too, and is to be more involved in the community. You know, I'd listen to podcasts and I would see Adam and would kind of read his stuff and just the support that the community offers. You know, I don't think I accessed it as much because I had somebody there next to me. But I, knowing the confusion that I had and the misconceptions and just kind of those moments of, oh, darn, I just don't get what this video is trying to show me kind of thing. And to have somebody there that has been through it. Like, I know that there's a number of girls on the community who are on that, you know, we've been weightlifting for a number of years and are in essence experts at it. and to be able to tap into that resource. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving forward, just keep doing your weights and leverage the community.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Do you have any final thoughts, or you want to leave it there?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right. So that was a great call. So thanks for being on. So for Heidi Fletcher, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.